Our topic today is observing.
Let's move into a self-connection exercise. Again, just to set your own intention around this. And I invite you to just check out what's going on for you in this moment. You can start with just what do you see around you? What is the visual field you're playing in now? Notice whatever is impinging on your eyes. Also notice that you may have thoughts about what you see. And simply notice the difference between that thinking and the actual visual component. And now, if you will, shift your attention to the auditory channel of your experience. Noticing what you hear. Pitch, low, volume, the parameters of the auditory channel. Then notice what you might be telling yourself about what you hear. Maybe something that indicates you like it or you don't like it, or an opinion, or just an acknowledgement or a description. And if you will, shift your attention to the taste in your mouth. Just notice that. It's already there. By just shifting your focus, you can just notice it. Again, distinguishing the actual experience of the taste in your mouth and any thinking, any opinions or judgments. And then your sense of smell. That out right now. What is impinging on your sense of smell? What's happening there? Then shift your attention to the physical sensations, perhaps the pressure of where you're meeting a chair you're sitting on, or where your feet touch the ground, or whatever contact you're making right now. Just notice that. And shifting from that, pay attention to the inner sensations inside the core of your body, around your belly and in the trunk of your body. with any movement or stillness, pain or comfort. On the next thought, notice that. Being with noticing that. Letting it be just as it is. Welcome back to the group and an opportunity to check in. And I suppose some of you may have had a sense you weren't ready to be back in the group and just to notice that, how that feels in your body, and just be present here.
Presence. And for me, that's the underlying skill that makes all of nonviolent communication possible. It's bringing our attention to the present moment. And the four components of NVC, you know, observation, feeling, need, and request, are like different gateways to presence. We're shifting our focus to the skill of observing, which for me is becoming more of an ongoing process of observing what's happening, observer position, neurolinguistic programming, what they call meta position, of being able to hear descriptions of what's happening in the world. The evaluation that I put on top of the descriptions. For me, the analogy that's always been helpful as I've learned NVC is a baseball game, where there's one person who's calling the description of the game, and the guy called the color commentator, who is adding all of his opinion about what's going on with the game. That's the choice that we have from moment to moment as we kind of play in the game of life. Are we going to sit with the descriptions, our experience of what's actually happening, or are we going to just enjoy our own jackal show, as they call it in NVC, our own evaluations and opinions? For me, there's nothing wrong with that. That's where poetry comes from. That's the poetry of our life, jackal. So I want to learn to pay attention to what I'm telling myself, because that is one of the ways that my heart and my brain are communicating to me what's important to me. So if I notice myself caught up in a stream of evaluation about something I've done or something that's happening or something that someone else has done, I want to let that be a gateway to deepen my connection. For me, those evaluations are like the surface structure, like the first layer of experience. Therefore, it's a gateway to something deeper. I get really curious. A really common example is when I'm driving in my car and the person in front of me does something that I don't like. That's the observation. They've done something that I don't like. Perhaps they've placed the bumper of their car close to the bumper of my car in a way that I wasn't expecting. Maybe that's the observation. Evaluation is he's an idiot. Who taught him to drive? So as I sit and notice what's going on underneath that evaluation, I feel frightened. The quality of fear in me letting me know that safety and protection is important. When I notice what's important to me, then I can settle in and those needs make some choices about what will support me meeting my need for safety and protection. I'll just pause here. Anybody has any questions?
What I just wanted to ask is if you could do maybe summary so that I know I got the gist of it.
Yeah, the gist of it for me is that observing is the skill, one of the base skills that supports presence. And the distinction that's important for me in observing is to notice the difference between the description of what's actually happening and then what I'm adding to it in terms of opinion and evaluation. And the final salient point is that those evaluations are important to me, that as I learn to observe my own evaluations, it helps get connected to what's important to me, to my needs.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
That description of our jackal show being the poetry of our life, it just really hits me deeply. Now I don't have to be so ashamed and feel I need to hide my jackals. And also when you made the statement about the gateway between our heart and mind, that really is useful for me because there are a number of pretty reliable groups out there now who are teaching that the mind is our enemy. So now I can see how I can use the mind more effectively. Lastly, I wanted to say that my big wow in the lesson today, the biggest, is this, the play-by-play commentator, the facts. Wow, because every time I watch the news now, it will be people who are discussing what's going on in such a critical fashion. And then they'll put these panels on for the commentation panel. And my body starts to cringe before they ever open their mouth because it's always evaluations and criticisms and judgments. And it was good to have that illustration. And it proves to me that that is accurate, what I am experiencing. And that's the very thing that in NVC we are trying to avoid.
Jim, trained in journalism, I imagine that stimulates something for you, Jim.
It does. You know, in journalism school, I learned the importance of observation, and basically observation answers the questions who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so it's a very clear description of what's going on. And then in traditional journalism, the way I was taught all those years ago, we keep the opinion on a completely separate page, the editorial page. And I really like keeping that distinction in journalism. I like being able, and in life, I like being able to keep clear of the difference. Not like there's anything wrong with the editorial page. In fact, that's the page I read first. I scan the headlines and I go to the, I love those evaluations. I love those opinions. That's where the life is for me. And in fact, this analogy you mentioned about watching what's going on, especially in some of these commentator shows on TV where they're basically two people talking at the same time, what a great workout space to practice NVC, to watch these TV shows and try to empathize with the people who are talking or trying to talk. What must that be like? For two people to be on national TV, both trying to get their ideas across, both feeling so passionate at the same time, and yet maybe also feeling so frustrated that they're not being heard. Even that can be an opportunity to practice.
I'd just like to comment on what you just said, is that the editorial actually enables you to connect more deeply with the people and their responses to just the facts, and just to acknowledge both parts of that and their great value. And then we'll go on to Mickey.
My question was on the location of the observer. For instance, when you were having difficulty, you said, notice what's going on in your body. That type of command or injunction doesn't address the point of where is the observer.
Yeah, I'd love to respond to that, actually, Mickey. I love that question that you asked. For me, this is a really deep question, and it is also, for me, a developmental question, because it has been really important to me in development to make a distinction between the experience and the witness of that experience, the experience being the transitory piece of things, that it actually is, it's shifting and changing. And there's a certain place, an observer, a witness of that, that is the capacity to watch that. So for me, that distinction in evolution is really important. And I'm also really intrigued and playing with the merging of those two. That there's something about making them distinct that can also then enable them to merge with a level of presence and consciousness that is really exciting to me. And I'm wondering if you have any response to what I just said, Mickey.
What you say resonates with me, and from spiritual disciplines I've studied, you know, make that distinction that there's an initial separation and then there is a merging. And so I do have a question for you. Where is your witnessing state in this moment or for you right now in your developmental progress?
In this moment is what I could relate to rather than the more global place. I find myself, well, I guess I could say more globally, I find myself having a certain amount of, how do I describe that? A certain amount of calm within the storm. There's like a place for me in any given moment that is the I, even in the midst of a storm. And when I say I was like the eye of the storm. And it, in actuality, I find it that making that distinction is even more important to me when things are intense. And when things are calm, there seems to be just this sense of flow. And I notice that I can, it is when things shift from the calm and flow to the intense is really the moment where I am most likely to get caught in the swirl of the tornado as opposed to staying in the eye. And I seem to have access, though, even then, to wake up and move into with some consciousness into the eye of the storm. So that's the best I can do to describe that, and I wonder if there was anything that was unclear about what I just said.
No, what I would label with what you just said is I would categorize it as a metaphor. It's attempting to describe the phenomena, the experience that you're having. And again, my question is, when you have this calming flow, where is the location for you when you have the calming flow?
Location.
For me, what I notice is that the location shifts, and there are like three different distinct locations that it seems to be at the first level. One is behind my eyes, within my brain. The second is like behind my, and slightly above my head. Sometimes I just kind of can take an observer position that's slightly outside of my body. And that I also seem to be able to move this observer into another person's experience, like with empathy. I can empathize as if I'm looking through the world through another person's experience. And so it seems to be that my metaphor is that it's somehow like a ball of energy that can move through time and space. That's as good as I can get to describe it.
I love it. I think we won't go any more detail on that. I appreciate it. And notice that the first two, at least, were locations. And even the third was a location. But one was behind your eyes. The other one was above your head.
Yes, thank you.
That's an observable, right? Thank you.
Great.
Thank you so much for bringing forth of the question. It really is stimulating for me. Steve, would you like to say something?
I was responding to Conti in terms of her experience when watching the news. First response was to say, well, I tend not to watch the news for my mental health. But then when Jim commented about the learning opportunities, especially the one about being able to empathize with people that trigger me. So I'm trusting that by the end of this telecourse, I will have the ability to empathize with Len Beck.
That's graduate school, brother.
When I first learned NVC, my graduate school was Rush Limbaugh. I would put him on the radio when I was driving. It would have been better if I tried to do this when I wasn't driving, because it was an intense uphill slope. And I found that I could only listen to him for, I think I got it up to maybe about 4 minutes before I would move into a total judgment and disregard. He's just trying to whatever, and I don't even want to fill in the blank at this point. Just what a steep curve that was. And one I'm very grateful for, I found it a slightly less steep curve. curve, but still a bit of a steep curve, a real push for me, is to watch the sitcoms. And I'm trying to think of some, like the 70s show or the some of these. There's one, I can't remember, with the Hispanic family. Just lots of sitcoms that were opportunities to just find that sense of presence and just be observing without being shaken around and pulled, you know, have the sense that I'm being pulled in different directions from outside, but holding my center. One of the things that I noticed in response to what Nikki said, although I'm not sure it's a location, and I'm intrigued and I really appreciate the question to try and identify location, is one of the elements for me is the ability to be present with something and to allow it to be just as it is somehow outside of me in such a way that I'm not identifying with it. So it seems to have a location for me in front of me in a way. I don't know if that actually answers the question, but I'm enjoying playing with the thought of location and find it useful. For some clarity about practice opportunities, the basic practice of stopping and of observing, we're in a process where whatever happens is a stimulus. I mean, that's what an observation is. It's a stimulus. And it is an opportunity to practice presence, to practice just the clarity of the observing and the distinction between that and the evaluations. And here we are in this dance together. So I'm celebrating we're in this dance together and that you're playing in this field of what I see as flowers of life. And I enjoyed the call for the most part. Except for a few moments when I got really lost, which was the moment when Jim dropped off the call and we were in small groups and someone in my group was speaking and just not knowing which way to go. So just celebrating that awareness of when my mind starts spinning and I lose my presence, that I'm nowhere. I was nowhere in terms of this call. I was just lost in my mind. So it was a perfect example of what we're focusing on so far in this class, and I celebrate that it happens in this class too.